So today is the feast day of Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, one of the great saints of the Middle Ages. And he was a young man born into the lower nobility who was extremely gifted. He was very intelligent and he was also very athletic, as we would say today. And so as he went for his training to become a knight, he excelled. He was at the top of his class, and there were very powerful dukes who wanted him to come into their service. He was also a great dancer, they said, and quite an accomplished musician, and has been known to write some very wonderful poems. In addition to that, he's a doctor of the church. He wrote some great theological treatises that we still study to this day. But just before he was to be knighted, he heard a priest preaching a mission at a nearby church. He went and listened and felt a vocation, a calling, to go where that priest was going and to join up with that group. And that group was a fledgling group of monks who had left a Benedictine monastery and were seeking to live out the rule in a new and more pure way. They followed a man named Saint Stephen Harding and another French gentleman, also a saint who I don't remember the name right now. And they had gone to Citeaux in this valley. The bishop had given permission to try to start a new monastery. And Bernard decided that that's what he needed to do, that that's what God was calling him to do. His family was very pious, especially his mother. And so they kind of understood the calling. And off he went. And he did very, very well. And even at a very young age, he was given great responsibilities within this new order. So much so that he's considered the third co-founder of the Cistercian order. And probably also because he was so popular and such a wonderful young man that when he had entered the monastery there, about 300 of his relatives and friends came to join him. And so also his two sisters went on to help found the Cistercian nuns. And so quite a remarkable man. In addition to that, he, at that time, the Jews had been expelled from England, and there was a movement afoot to do that in France and Germany as well. And he preached against that and saved them. And so he did a number of wonderful things. There were miracles that he did during his lifetime. And even though he joined that very first monastery, the Cistercians, in Citeaux, by the end of his life, there were nearly 300 monasteries had been founded. So quite the amazing man. He wrote one of the first great treatises that we have on the Immaculate Conception of Mary, and he also wrote the rule for the Order of the Knights Templar. So quite an amazing man. And then we have a look at our readings today. The first one from the prophet Isaiah, prophesying the new covenant, that a time will come when those who are true believers in the house of Israel will go out and call all the nations to Jerusalem to worship the one true God. And so it happened that Jesus, born of the house of Israel, but also the Son of God, called the 12 apostles. They went out with their followers and converted the whole world and have brought them to the true worship of the Lord. So we see that prophecy fulfilled. Then in the second reading, St. Paul talks about what it really is to be a son of God. Yes, there's an open invitation. Yes, God wants to save everyone. And all people are called to be saved to the altar of God. But just being called doesn't save you. As we know in another place in Scripture, it says, many are called, but few are chosen. And so all are called in a certain sense, but few are chosen for the highest ranks of sanctity. And not because God doesn't want that for us. He does call us all to be saints. But there are so few of us who can respond with the generosity and the courage necessary to truly scale the heights of sanctity. And that's what St. Paul is talking to us about in the second reading, that when we do go into this relationship with God, he tells us that we're going to have to bear his cross and follow in his footsteps, that there will be a discipline about this, that it's not all going to be roses, but that he will be with us, and we'll get through it, and we'll be better for it for having gone through it. And so that's what St. Paul is talking about, that there we have to be purified in a certain sense. And so that will happen as we grow close to the Lord. And if you read the lives of the saints, you see that the struggles that so many of them went through, one very close to our own time, Mother Teresa. In her spiritual life, she went through 37 years of arid spiritual dryness. In the second year of that, she came up with the motto for her order. And they always have a crucifix hanging near the entrance of their convents, her sisters do, and under the crucifix are painted the words, "I thirst." And so this holy woman, who saved so many tens of thousands of people who had been abandoned and neglected with her own hands, the Lord let suffer 37 years of spiritual dryness in her prayer, but she never gave up. She knew God loved her. She kept praying every day. She kept doing his will. She kept doing her foundation. And she reached the heights of sanctity, according to the words of St. Paul, being disciplined like a good child. And then we have this gospel. And here our Lord refutes all of those gloom and doom preachers that we hear on TV. The world is coming to an end in the year 2000, the year 2011, the year 2020. We all have all of these prophecies about the year the world is going to end. And they say, and only if you are going to be saved. If you want to be saved, send your $20 or something like that. You'll get the secret in the mail to be saved, whatever it is. And so they ask him that question. Lord, will only a few be saved? And he says, strive to enter through the narrow gate. I tell you, many will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. And why aren't they strong enough? Not because God doesn't want them to enter, or because he's pushing them back, but because they refuse his grace. They want to enter under their own power, according to their own ideas, according to their own ways, and not according to his ways and his grace, humbly accepting his help. And then he talks about judgment, that those of us who do not do his will, he cannot recognize. And they will be cast out as evildoers. And he says, and some who are last will be first, and some who are first will be last. And that's what happens. When my ideas are more important than God's, I make myself first, and the first will be last. And when I am humble and seeking to do God's will, then I put myself voluntarily in last place to serve others, and the last will be first. And that's what our Lord wants us to pick up on in this gospel today. And then there is an insert in the bulletin today. It's from a blog, which is a new term that was invented about 15 years ago. And what is a blog? Sounds horrible, doesn't it? Blog. But a blog is a website that a person creates for himself and publishes things there for everyone to read. And most people just write little things, commentaries, observations, whatever. So there's one of these, it was from a Catholic man named Matt Walsh, and he comments on some things that were happening in the Charlotte School District in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, obviously, some of the things there are opinion, they're his commentary, but what he's commenting on is fact. And we need to be aware of that. The reason why I put that there is not that necessarily that everything that he says there is absolute fact, at least because he's commenting, but what he's commenting on is a fact. The SER, which is the group that he comments on, does exist. The things that he puts in there and points out, they are sending out to all, or at least right now, the major school districts and maybe all the school districts in the country. They are actively promoting this program, and sadly, as crazy as it seems, when you read this, you won't believe it. As crazy as it seems, many are giving it serious consideration. And so I put that in there as a warning. This is what's coming down the road. And if you are on the school board or know people who are, be aware, make them aware. We don't have to have this. And we shouldn't have it. It's no good. So that's why that's there.